Okay, this morning, I just want to read a scripture to you from 1 Corinthians, and it says this: what shall we say then, brothers or sisters? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. And it just amazes me how God works in the way that he gives all of us something to bring, all of us something to give. And I was thinking back to the feeding of the 5,000. Well, that sounds like I was there, doesn't it? I had been thinking about it. And I wondered what would have happened if that child, if that boy hadn't shared his 5 small loaves and his 2 small fish. If he had thought, this is important, this is worth nothing, how is this going to help? But yet he did. And he shared it in the hope that it would make a difference. And what did Jesus do? He used it to feed over 5,000 people. And I just want us to come this morning and think, actually, is there something I have that I can share with somebody else that I feel God's giving me? We're going to be looking at the whole thing of prophecy. Matt's going to be speaking about it later on, about how we hear from God and how we then interpret that and share it with others. So maybe this morning, and I just want to pray this, that your ears would be open, that it wouldn't just be you sitting and listening and taking it in, but actually that active part of God, what would you have me share with somebody else? What do you want to give to me? Because you're God, and it's about who God is, not about who we are. So can I just pray as we start off this morning? Father, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that we've gathered here, Lord, just to share together and to come as one family. And Father, we pray that as we gather, Lord, that you would open us this morning, open up our ears and our hearts to hear from you. Lord, if you want to give us something to share with somebody else, Lord, help us to be open to that. Whether that's a word, an encouragement, whether it's with helping somebody this week, but Lord, we're family. So Lord, would you just be in our midst this morning and help us, Lord, to be open to you. We just pray your blessing, Father, on this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, more on that a little bit later on as we look at prophecy together. We want to mention that we have a members meeting coming up on the 6th of October where we get to worship together, look at vision together, to be family together. And that's not the exclusion of those that aren't members. If you'd like to chat about becoming a member of the church, we would love to do that. Come and chat to Linda and I afterwards. That'd be really good. But specifically, I want to invite as many of us who are members to come along on the 6th of October, 7:30 p.m. We're going to be focusing in, rather than looking at lots of different areas, we're going to be focusing in on 3 key areas. And one of those is our chapel that we've got down in Welton, that after kind of lots of prayer and discussion, we're moving towards this point where we are saying, Lord, we would love to do a complete redevelopment of this building to give you glory for generations to come as a step in our journey with God. Not the only step, but an important step as a church, somewhere that could be used. I'm tempted already to start getting excited about it and tell you some of the things that we're thinking, but I'm not going to, because we're going to do that on Thursday, the 6th of October. So I encourage you to come along so we can chat, pray, and get hold of God together on that and 1 or 2 other important areas. Okay, a quick question. Any idea last week what the top Google search was? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Yeah, King Charles funeral, that's what you'd think. No, shall I tell you what it was? But the number one on Thursday, not sure about the other days, but the number one top in Google on Thursday was electric blankets, which is interesting, isn't it? And there's a reason for that. And I'm going to ask John Taylor if he would come up and maybe just elaborate a little bit on why that might be. And then Chris is going to come and pray for John on the back of what John has shared.
Thank you. Yes, so electric blankets, it's all to do with the problems that we're expecting this winter, with the cost, increased cost of fuel bills, increased cost of all sorts of things, but particularly fuel and heating, and the trouble people are going to be having, even basically feeding themselves. And as a church, a few of us have got together to start thinking how we as a church can support people. And we thought of lots of things, and some of it involved handing out lots of money, and we thought, no, we don't actually have lots of money to hand out, and how do you assess that and all the rest of it? And in the end, all the ideas seem to be about building community, working, serving our community, both the community in the church and the community wider, and doing things that we already do, but including others. So, for instance, thinking about having lunch after church on Sunday, a hot lunch after church on Sunday once a month, or having people's homes open to come for a meal and perhaps a shower or wash some clothes or whatever if people are really struggling. So there's lots of ideas. Nothing's been finalised yet, but there are things going on in the background where we want to try and build community and support community and work together, because this is something we're all in together. It isn't that there's an us and a them, those that have got and those that haven't. We will all struggle, but sometimes some of us can help in other ways through that.
That's fantastic. Chris is going to come and pray. And I think, John, it would be okay to say, if anybody had ideas or thoughts or questions, you'd be up for that conversation with
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. No, any or people who want to volunteer to help with something or have thought, yes, I'd really love to do that, have a word. Yes. Nothing's off the table at the moment. We won't necessarily do everything, but we would definitely discuss everything.
Just as a quick aside, but an important one, isn't it great having John and Mandy in our church fellowship? Oh, you guys are such a blessing. Yeah. Okay, let's pray.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that in a world where there's uncertainty, you're the God of the constant. Mm. In a world where there's need, you are the provider, God. Yes. And in a world where there's hurt, you are the healer, God. And I just thank you, Father, you've raised up John and others to be that connection point between maybe those who don't know you and you, the provider, the healer, the restorer, God. And I just pray over the next few months as John leads his small team, thinking about how we can help, how we can pull together as a community and surround these people with provision, but also with love, your love, God. So we just pray for him, and we pray that you will give him the confidence and the sense of your leading over the course of the next few months. And for the rest of us as a church family, I just pray you'll give us the confidence to pull together as a community with those around us and just to show your love through our care. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen.
We've just been singing about faith, about having that faith to go a bit deeper, a bit further. And Matt's going to speak this morning on prophecy. And I just want to pray as we go into this time that God would open our ears and our hearts and take us a bit deeper, take us a bit further. And wherever we have got to in this, wherever our understanding is, however much we function, maybe in this whole area of hearing from God, that today we would take a step further. So I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you for Matt. I thank you for what you've put on his heart. I thank you for his understanding and depth of scripture. And Father, I pray that as he speaks to us, Lord, that you would speak through him. Lord, if there's anything that's just to be left to the side, then Lord, I pray that he would recognize that. But Father, we pray that his words would bring life to us, they would bring understanding and maybe a stronger foundation from which we can move forward into hearing from you. So I just pray your blessing on him now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Linda. It's great. Okay, are you ready? If you would switch your Bible on, that would be fantastic. Turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to look at the first five verses together. And we'll see where God leads us. Just while you're doing that, I got a really strong sense that God wants to speak to us this morning and through us. And for some of you, that may mean fear and trembling. For others, you're like, bring it on. That's okay. I think God is here. He's gentle. It's safe space when the Spirit of God is with us. So don't rule out the thought that God may want to speak to you this morning and even speak through you to the person next to you. Just turn to the person next to you and think, do they deserve to hear God's voice through me? Yeah, they probably do, don't they? You're quite a good-looking bunch, except for Tom. All right, here we go. That was just a joke. Tom's a very attractive young man. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Last week, Jeremy got us thinking about how we live in this world of words, don't we, and how powerful they are. Today, we're going to explore together how, as believers, we're made to hear the voice of God and to share some of those things with those around us, with one another in our church family, but also in everyday life, Monday through to Saturday on our front lines. For any of you, just briefly, who've not heard the term prophecy before, and that's okay, some maybe that are newer to church life, a simple definition: it's listening to God and sharing what you hear with another person or group of people. We'll bounce back to that as we go. So here's my guess. As we start this morning, there's probably three groups of us here. The stirred up, that we need to do this. There's a prerequisite in following Jesus today that we need to hear his voice. The world is full of so much bad news. Let's bring some good news as we discern the voice of God for those around us. And what could be better news than hearing the thoughts of God, capturing some of those glimpses of what God sees and thinks about those around us? Stop talking, Matt. Let's just do it. There'll be those. There'll be another group of us that are suspicious. Some of us have had experiences that were disappointing or manipulative or painful. And if that's your story, then I'm sorry about that. And your reaction is entirely fair. But we need to be clear. You're not reacting to the voice of God, but to the misuse of it, the abuse of it. And I'd ask you this morning, if you would do what almost certainly is going on inside of you, if you would be open to a new voice, the voice of God in a new way, in a way that is different from those things that before perhaps that have been disappointing or hurtful. The authentic voice of God that brings life to us and builds us up, as we're going to see. Then there are the spectating. What on earth are you going on about? Do you sometimes get to church and think, what on earth are you going on about? Don't agree too readily to that one, but yeah, maybe sometimes, and that's fine. You're just sat here wondering why the intro to this sermon is so long. Just crack on. Wherever you're at, my prayer this morning is that God gently reminds you that he is for you. And because he is for you, he loves to speak to you and through you. Do you get that? Do you want to say it again? Just let it soak into your spirit. God is for you. He delights in you. He loves you. He thinks about you all the time. And because he is for you, he loves to speak to you and through you. So we're going to look at some biblical principles, some foundational biblical principles. Then we're going to get a little bit more practical with the how do we do it. Then we're going to have some time where we pray, and there's going to be the prayer ministry team who'll be available, and anybody this morning that wants prayer, it's fine. If a bunch of us are munching our way through pastries and another bunch of us are just trying to glean something of the word of God or grow our heart to hear his voice, that's okay. It's family. We're really comfortable doing that. As human beings, there is a hunger for God. I believe that inbuilt in every single human being. But specifically, a God who speaks. Yes, a God who is holy, who is just, who protects us, who heals us, a God who helps us. But within this, we long for a God who responds to us and what we're thinking right now in that moment. A God who speaks. And it's into that reality of this human longing for dialogue with God, we open our Bibles right at the start and we read this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said. Anybody know what the next bit is? Let there be light. Yes. Yeah. God spoke, and there was a flow of what God wanted to do, on the breath of his Spirit. And there's a biblical principle that we're going to look at just briefly this morning that begins and flows from here in Genesis 1. And it's this, that when God speaks, things happen. Just turn to somebody next to you and say, when God speaks, things happen. God speaks to create, to strengthen, to order, to heal, to bring form, to build, to encourage, the list goes on. And from Genesis onward, this biblical story of prophecy is one of speech and spirit. You see it all the way through the Old Testament account. Whatever the literature is, spirit and speech. It's a pattern that we track. So, just a couple of things before we move on. God speaks to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 15 about his big plan, this Old Testament plan, to model relationship with him to the rest of the world. That Old Testament, people of God, to be the first missionaries on the planet, says this, Genesis 15. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Verse 5 says, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. It was God's words that birthed faith and vision inside of them as a couple, that led to a physical birth, that led to the people of God. Then we get to a man named Moses. God appears to in a burning bush. You can read it in Exodus 3. Maybe you've read it 1,000 times. Maybe it'd be your first time. Take a look what happens when God speaks and things happen. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, he called to him from in the bush, Moses, Moses. And God speaks to Moses about justice and freedom for the people. And Moses then goes and he speaks to the others around him, the leaders of the day. And they hear those words and they speak to others. The word for this is prophecy. Moses hears what God says and he goes and speaks it to others. And we can follow this pattern right the way through the Old Testament like a golden thread that you'll find, whatever the literature is that we're reading. Samuel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Remember this? Then the word of the Lord came. We read it consistently through the Old Testament story. Then we get to Jesus, who marks this huge shift from Old Testament prophecy into a New Testament prophecy age. Where before Jesus, the Spirit spoke through certain people at certain times and in certain places to an age that we are living in now, where the Holy Spirit speaks through all believers at all times and in all places. That's the potential in the age that we're living in, this age of Jesus, of the prophetic. John, the gospel writer, he captures this right at the beginning of his gospel. And he starts by carefully and masterfully introducing Jesus. Many of you will have heard this before, but just get hold of this in the light of spirit and speech, the God who speaks, and how John chooses to introduce Jesus. This is his description of him. In the beginning, do you recognize those same three words that we read in Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. I want you just to notice with me John's choice of name for Jesus here. The word, in Greek it's logos. And John knew exactly what he was doing. He was evoking a catalogue of memories and scriptures in his Hebrew readers that they would understand the word of. Oh, all of these things that we've heard throughout history, these moments, certain places, certain people, for certain occasions, certain times. That was Jesus, God speaking through people. And now Jesus is here, the living word, the one who was at the beginning and who is here now. One commentator describes a logos this way and why John chose to use this word. It says this, when used to describe God's words, logos does not mean the literal words or speech or message of God. Instead, it refers to the dynamic, active communication of God's purpose and plan to his people in light of his creative activity. I loved that quote. You might think, what? That's way too many words for one sentence. It probably is. But he's getting to this point that actually Jesus, when he speaks, it's not just that there's words there on a page, but actually with his word comes activity, comes the life of God, comes the Spirit of God to make things happen. Jesus brings peace to your chaos. He brings healing to your brokenness. He brings life to our death. With what? His words, speech and spirit. Then we get to Acts 2, and we see what Jesus had prayed for in John 20 after his resurrection. We see Peter standing up with the crowd to speak. And Peter so skillfully connects the dots. What had been longed for by God's people now is becoming a reality. And he quotes from the book of Joel, the prophet who foresaw this. Let's read this together. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And this is the age that we are living in. This is the age that we're living in. It's New Testament times where the Spirit has been poured out on all those who believe, on all of us, so that God can speak to us and through us. Old, young, women, men, rich, poor, doctorate, illiterate, for all. Just turn to the person next to you and say, it's for you. Some of you might be sat there thinking, hold on a second, isn't prophecy a gift that just certain people get, that God only gives to some? Yes and no. Let me explain. In our passage, Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Which raises the question, would God tell us to desire something that he's not going to give to us? Well, no, that's kind of not what God does. So where does gifting come into this? Think of it this way. Some are given the gift whilst all can use the gift. Does that make sense? Some are given the gift whilst all can use the gift. Let me explain it a bit more practically that might help. If you're walking down the road and you see an old lady, I'm not going to make eye contact with any old ladies, but you see an old lady being mugged by a bunch of youth, what are you going to do? Yeah, Josie, thank you. You run in, you try and stop it. Okay, but the point I'm making is that Josie is not a policewoman, but actually she's got a heart that's created to, when she sees injustice, to go and do something about it. And I know Josie, she would. And it's the same with the prophecy. We may not all be given the gift of prophecy, but we're all able to prophesy. We're all able to hear the voice of God and share it with others. So I want us to get a little bit practical. We have a history of prophecy in Scripture where we see spirit and speech from the beginning. We see that when God speaks, things happen. His breath brings a life that is more than just the words. There's an activity that comes with the voice of God. And through Jesus releasing his spirit at Pentecost, we have entered into this age of Jesus that we're living in, this in-between age before he returns, and he will return. But he has given his Holy Spirit for every believer so that we can hear his voice for ourselves and we can hear his voice for others. We are all able to hear the voice of God and share it. So how do we do it? How do we actually demonstrate the gospel, the good news, through prophecy? I want to be really practical, and so I bought some oranges with me. And did anybody like an orange? My Liz, the last thing she said to me was, don't throw oranges at people. So I feel like that's the first thing you've got to do. Are you ready? Oh, man. Anybody written a risk assessment? Oh, that was just a little bit too far. Okay, I'm going to try again. You ready? Okay, we did it. You might have a bruise in the morning, but that's fine. Three things we're going to look at, not because all good preachers have 3 points, because it kind of makes sense for this particular preach. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to choose it. Okay, you have to choose. I've got a bowl of oranges here. You're welcome to come up at the end and take an orange if you'd like one. Paul says, eagerly desire, which in the original Greek translates eagerly desire. That's what he meant. Eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. But this is important. It's not just a proof text. In fact, the New Testament is full of instructions on how we as believers should listen to God and share the things that we hear him saying. We read about prophecy in Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Peter, Jude, and Revelation. For the Apostle Paul, the question isn't if you prophesy, it's how you do it. And the first thing that we do is we choose it. We have to choose to prophesy. It doesn't just happen that we listen to God's voice and share it with others. I remember being away at a church weekend away when a friend of mine came to do one of the sessions. And before he arrived, there was a lady called Liz, not my Liz, another Liz, who was super upset. Her son had found a can of petrol, and with some other of his mates, they decided they thought it'd be really funny to set fire to the can of petrol. So they set fire to the can of petrol, and it wasn't a disaster. He lost his eyebrows, but nothing else, after setting fire to this thing. He thought it was funny, his mum, not so much. And we prayed for her because she was super upset. And she said this. She said, "I just feel that I am such a bad mother." That's what she said. And so we prayed for her. And we went through to the session and my friend arrived. And just as he's starting the session, he caught Liz out of the corner of his eye. He said, "Oh, Liz." He said, "I was praying on my way here this morning and I felt God give me something just to share with you." And he said, "I just want to say to you, you are a great mum." And you can imagine she just started crying again. And so did I. The point is this. My friend had to choose to listen. Rather than listening to the new Take That album that was on his CD player. That's how old he was and how long ago it was. But he had to make a choice, turn off the stereo for a couple of minutes. And I chatted to him and he said this. He said that on the way to the session, he said a simple prayer. "God, what do you see in the people that I want, that you want me to see today?" And it's not a bad prayer to pray, is it? At the beginning of a week or the beginning of a staff meeting or a PTA meeting or getting coffee with your neighbour. "Lord, what do you want me to see that you see?" I wonder when the last time you prayed that prayer was. I don't want to get too pushy with you, but oh my goodness, we should be praying that, shouldn't we? We mix with some people, don't we? "Lord, what do you see that it'd be good for me to see?" You'll have all sorts of opinions on people. That's fine. They're all good. They're valid. But what about the Lord's? What does the Lord see? Paul says, "Eagerly desire." It's a choice. Next, you've got to squeeze it. Do you see that thing where it's normally mums that go into supermarkets and they pick up a piece of fruit and they squeeze it? I have no idea what they're doing. I've never done that successfully. It's never made any difference to me when I've squeezed a piece of fruit. It's just like, yeah, it's fruit, and I put it in the basket and buy it. Anyway, squeezing, what do I mean in this context? I mean asking a few questions, testing it, weighing it before we give it. Does it sound like the Bible? You know, prophecy should always reflect what we read in Scripture. It should flow in the same stream as Scripture. It's not Scripture, but it should sound like it. Is it for now? Lord, is this thing for now, or shall I be waiting for another time? In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul speaking about prophecy is really clear. He says, "Don't quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them and hold on to what is good." Let me let you into a secret. When I pray for people, the first thought that comes isn't always positive. You can just say shock horror if you want to. But I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Your first thought when you sit down and pray for somebody, is it always super positive? Not necessarily. You have to push through some of those things and say, "God, what is it that you see?" An easy one to remember is no mates, dates, or babies. No mates, "God told you to marry me." No, he didn't. God's not going to tell any of you, "Go and tell that person you have to marry me." That's just not how God works. No dates. In 2 years' time, you're going to be the Prime Minister of England. You're probably not. And if you did think that, there's other ways of coming at it. But don't put dates on things generally, unless you really feel, and we'll get into this, how you can be a bit more sensitive. And babies, you've got to be sensitive. This is just one example. But it's probably not the wisest thing to somebody that's struggling to conceive to say in 9 months' time, you will have a baby. We have to be pastorally sensitive. But here's the key from our verse this morning. Verse 3 says this: "The one who prophesies speaks to people for what? For their strengthening, their encouraging, and comfort." So here's the question. When you're praying, you're saying, "God, what is it that you see in somebody that I'm going to see today? Does it strengthen? Does it encourage? Does it comfort? If not, then it's not New Testament prophecy. Don't give it." So we've got to choose it, we squeeze it, and then we give it. I'm going to be a bit more sensible this time and come and give an orange to Lee. We give it, but this is important, we give it gently. We give it lightly. We don't throw it at somebody. I chose Lee because I knew he'd be friendly. We hold it lightly. We let God add the weight if there's weight to be added. Just get hold of this. We let God add the weight if there's weight to be added. You don't need to become Darth Vader. You just need to be you, all right? When God speaks, he doesn't need you to turn into this spiritual giant with a deep voice that says, "I'm about to say something very godly to you." You don't need to do any of that stuff. You don't need to be weird. Have you ever thought how unweird Jesus was? He was radical. He was incredible. He was all those things that we love about him. But he wasn't weird. He didn't embarrass you, did he? Have you ever thought Jesus embarrasses me? No, not at all. One little passage from John 1, 47, great example. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." I just love what Jesus does here with the prophetic. Using everyday language, he looks beyond what others may be seeing in Nathanael and gently says, "You are a good guy." That's my paraphrase. But you get the point. "You're a good guy. And I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathan's response, get this, how does he respond? Faith rises. He says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Who adds the weight? When he gives that word to Nathanael, who adds the weight? It's Nathanael. Jesus gives it lightly. It's the Nathanael that says, "You are the Son of God. I believe this now." What about this time tomorrow? What about if we could be a little bit more like Jesus with Nathanael? So we're not saying, "Are you ready for a prophetic word? Here goes." When you stand up in the staff meeting, or you meet somebody in the staff and you sat down next to them, is it possible that we can prophesy in a way that is light enough for people to get hold of it and for them to add the weight? I believe it is. In the doctor's surgery, in the TOTS group, in your Zoom call, those of you that are still working from home, is it possible to bring things the way Jesus did that are really prophetic? What if actually there's something far kinder, far more friendly than we sometimes envisage when we think about prophecy? What if God wants us to normalize, not sensationalize prophecy? I believe that's God's heart, to normalize, to not sensationalize. Back to Jesus and Nathanael and that approach. I got a friend in London called Mara, and in London, she had this fantastic job with a boss that was a little bit scary. Anybody got a fantastic job with a boss that's a little bit scary? Claire Green just put her hand up. That's just not funny, Claire. No one else willing to admit it. They got a boss that's a little bit scary. I've had them over the years. Mara's boss was a little bit scary. And interesting thing. So Mara, the night before she went to work, she decided that she would pray that prayer that my other friend who came to the church weekend prayed. "Lord, is there something you want me to see tomorrow in this group of people?" And Mara started to feel this kind of sadness for her boss. And she imagined her boss sat with a photograph of two people on it. And she couldn't see who the two people were. But she just imagined this in her prayers. So she got to work the next day. Let me tell you what she didn't say. She didn't say, "Are you getting divorced?" Trying to show off her prophetic gifting. She didn't do that at all. She just said, "How are you doing? Are you okay at the moment?" to her boss. And her boss said, "Yes and no. Why do you ask?" A little bit suspicious. And my friend Mara, very wise, holding it lightly as she gave it, she said, "Look, you're going to think this sounds nuts, but I was just praying about work last night and you came into my mind. So I just felt like I should ask you if you're doing okay." And what happened was this: her boss, this hard woman, full on, very, very, you know, senior professional, brilliant at her job, just started to cry. And Mara said to her, what's going on? And this lady said, "Well, last night, my husband told me he's leaving me." And she said, "I sat up into the early hours with a photograph of our wedding day, looking at it." And my friend Mara was able to then say a little bit more, still holding it lightly, "Actually, you know what? I kind of had a sense that maybe something like that." Do you know what that lady went away thinking? She did not go away thinking, "Mara is an amazing prophetess." She went away thinking, "God knows me." Isn't that beautiful? And some fresh conversations started. The goal of hearing from God isn't for others that they walk away thinking about us. It's that people walk away from us looking a bit more in the direction of Jesus. Alex Buchanan said, "If a prophecy draws attention to the one who speaks it, there's something wrong with the prophecy." Okay, as we wrap up, I want a quick thought about why we don't always expect to choose it, to squeeze it, and to give it gently. Just a couple of thoughts as we come to pray. Maybe it's because our heads are too full of other words. Do you feel like that sometimes? Your head is just too full of other things to contemplate the thought of saying, "God, could I just see a little bit more, some of your words towards somebody I'm going to meet today?" But what if this week ahead you said, "Lord, I just want to take 1 or 2 minutes at the beginning of my day or a particular point that's useful for you, just to say, God, is there anything you want me to see that I've not seen yet with the people that I will meet today. Anything of your heart, your perspective, what you see in people that actually could be really helpful. It could do that thing that we read. It could strengthen. It could encourage. It could comfort. Maybe it's because when God speaks, it's a still, small voice like we read in 1 Kings 19. It's not the deep boom from the clouds. Almost invariably, it's so common that it sounds like our own thoughts. Have you noticed that? And it's not until we start pushing in that we realize, oh, God uses my thoughts, my imaginations, that dream that I kind of woke up and remembered a little bit of, that single word that when I looked across the room and saw Ben, I kind of thought, compassion, a man of compassion. That actually I could just think it, or I could give it, hopefully gently. It means that we need to be able to practice and sometimes get it wrong. Let me let you into a little secret very quickly. A number of years ago, my 3PT meeting, a couple came to speak to us about a ministry that they were doing. I'd not met them before. And we got into a kind of a prayer and prophecy time. And I said to this couple, I just really sense that God wants to bless your marriage and he wants to use your marriage as a model to many, many others. And they kind of smiled. And I thought, okay, they're smiling. That's good. I must have got it right. We stopped praying. They said, hey, look, we just should mention, we're not married at all. We're just good friends. We're married, but we're married to other people. And I was, oh man, can you imagine my embarrassment? The whole 3PT meeting. But here's the interesting thing that day. I felt that sick feeling for those 30 seconds, but we laughed. And do you know what it did? Actually, it meant it created a space where we could practice together hearing the voice of God. And it's interesting, even now, that was about 12 years ago, we still defer back to that day when we heard things from God. And I think there is something about being family and saying it's okay, we can get it wrong from time to time. Last thing, maybe it's because, and you may need to book a chiropodist appointment now because I'm going to step on your toes. Are you ready? Here we go. Maybe it's because in our Christian lives, we've become spectators when we gather like this or at other times. Sometimes we come to watch, and it's so easy to gather like this with a mindset that says, how can I receive? How can I feed? But what if equally as valid and equally as important is a mindset that says, how can I give? How can I be part of what God wants to do? How can I feed others? And don't get me wrong, the desire to be fed and to hear God's voice for ourselves, yes, it's good. And our gathering should be a place where it's the halftime talk, where we get filled up, where we hear something that connects with who we are tomorrow. But what if God isn't wanting to only feed you and me? It's also for us to give, to listen, to share, to build others up in this room. How about this? What if the food that you're looking for comes as you feed others? What if God wants to speak to you, but also through you? What if each week when we gather, we each have something to give? What if instead of heading to church thinking, I hope it's good today, which is completely valid, but we also think, I hope God will speak through me today? What if someone is really needing to hear from God in this room? And God wants to speak to them, not through a sermon or a song, but through a someone. What if that person is you? John Wimber said, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And I do wonder for us as a church at the moment, if our maturity could be measured in our riskiness more than our rightness. A willingness to step out and trust that God will be there. And please hear me right. This is not an invitation to become reckless. And hopefully you've heard that. Not everything that comes into our mind is God speaking. We have to test, we have to squeeze it. Is this right? We have to go back to those verses that we've looked at this morning. Does it bring encouragement? Does it bring strengthening? Or does it bring comfort? If it doesn't, it's not New Testament prophecy. Does it do those things? If it does, then maybe God is saying, would you step out? Would you make it part of your Christian experience, not only to feed and to be loved and to hear and to worship, but to feed others, to be part of what I am doing in another person's life? Okay, to end this morning, we have a prayer team that Linda's just going to come and share how we're going to pray. And I want to hand over to you.
Great, thank you, Matt. Is anybody feeling encouraged, inspired? Anybody feeling challenged? I know I am. I think it's important that we get hold of this And that we just ask that simple question of God, you know, God, what do you see? And can you show me what you see? And this morning, we just want to provide an opportunity to pray for anybody that would like prayer. If you feel this is an area that you want to really grow in and you want somebody to stand with you and to pray that, then we would love to do that this morning. In fact, just as I'm speaking, can I ask the prayer team to go to that back left, right corner, depending on how you're looking at the corner. I also had a sense, and actually Matt this morning, in one of the stories that he told, spoke about that mother that felt that she was a bad mother, and she had these words that were kind of written over her, spoken over her. And had a sense yesterday as I was praying that there are some people here that you're living under words that have been spoken over you that are negative. And God wants to break that today. And there was something about you actually going to receive prayer that was kind of like you were in a cage, and that by asking for prayer that the door was opening, and it was your choice whether or not you wanted to fly or not. But there's something about God wanting to take those words, the negative words, and changing it for his truth, for how he sees you. So we would also love to pray with you if that is something that speaks to you this morning. So we're going to end the meeting here. We pray you have a brilliant week ahead, and we look forward to hearing testimonies of how you're stepping out and hearing God. Please help yourself to, there's tea and coffee and pastries, but please, if you would like prayer, there's folks over there who would love to pray for you. Thank you.